Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
Oh, what's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
No Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Well, Dick, but yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
All right, here we go, boys. How many days since November? I can't remember, but I do know today is that day, opening day, with great things on the way. The winter has gone on too long. It's just felt wrong, like a sad, sad song. It's time for summer, time to call Tony Maz's number, where he takes callers one and two, dumb and dumber. It's time to see what Alex Cora can do over 162. Sox fans were afraid of another first-round loss, but with AC as boss, it won't be a coin toss. It'll be like 13, 04, and 07, where after Game 7, Fenway will be heaven. With Price, Porcello, and Sale, these pitchers won't fail, and the bullpen will be strong. They will do no wrong, because with Kimbrel as closer, the game will be over. The lineup will hit. It will be special to see, especially with Betts, Benny Hanley, and the new man, J.D. Bogey bounces back while young Devers will attack. And wait till Petey comes through, because he's way overdue. And how about the D? It'll be great every day with a gold glover like J.B.J.
The greatest thing of this crib is...
But the biggest thing I say is chemistry must lead the way. Because if the boys get along, they'll be singing that song. Yes, as it gets hotter and hotter, you'll hear Dirty Water. Even though outside it's not nice weather, nothing can compare to when I smell that leather. Out on the field, the grass, dirt, and clay. We're finally here, boys. It's opening day. Yes, I can't wait till today when they all yell, play ball. But the only shame of it all, we'll be in a dome. Oh, boy, I'd much rather be home. Because nothing says opening day like friendly Fenway. Happy opening day, boys. Crack-a-lackin'.
All right. I like that you said you smell the leather at the field rather than under your dominatrix's hand.
Whew.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning, everyone. We're the Toucher and Rich radio program, 617-779-0985. Yesterday we played some Mock Jamelli, and people love him. Now Nicholas, young Nicholas, Sick Nick, get on the microphone. Get over there on the microphone. Don't be shy. Now, did you talk to your dad yesterday?
Yeah.
How'd he feel?
He felt great. He really enjoyed the segment.
Okay, so he feels like $1 million?
He does.
Did he hear the part where Rich had the idea of doing a recliner Christmas?
You know what? Him and I did not mention that, so I don't think he...
I don't want to take nothing from you.
I think that for Christmas, we need to... Because he's talking about, or he talked about having a plan to get a fourth recliner. And so... Why not, for all the joy that he has given us, this upcoming Christmas, we have a recliner Christmas, maybe it's the 12 recliners of Christmas, where we take Mr. Mark Jamelli to one of the many huge, humongous recliner stores that are around here.
There's got
to
be a Lazy Boy store here somewhere.
And have him pick one out. Well, I'm sure there's somebody who would obviously want to partner up with us, but yeah. I mean, how do you think that he would enjoy that, being able to go in? Like, the world is your oyster.
He could test every one of them.
Yep.
He would love that.
Okay.
All right, so, because he really does want a fourth one.
He does,
okay,
yeah.
Maybe don't tell him yet if he hasn't heard it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Now, young Sick Nicholas, now, does he really want a fourth recliner?
Yeah. Yeah.
How much room is there?
It's like between 600 and 650 square feet.
Okay, and he wants to jam another recliner in there.
Yeah, he does. The way you described his living room is it sounds almost like a screening room. It's like three recliners facing like a television?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Now,
yeah.
Is it like a tube television or is it a flat screen?
It's a flat screen.
Because he was very pissed off that the smart TV was in the bedroom.
The one he watches TV on is not a smart TV. He just couldn't figure out how to use the smart TV.
Rich, yeah. What was his name?
Who's that?
His dad.
Oh, that would be, of course, a...
Mark Cervelli! Mark Cervelli!
All right,
I just love that he can't figure out, because that's my mom. They can't figure out the Hulus or the Amazon TV.
It's all the other channels he can't figure out.
Right.
Well, he doesn't need them. He doesn't need them. He's perfectly happy. Well, that's great, Nick. Thank you. I'm glad that your dad enjoyed it. Because everyone enjoys your dad more than you. That's the weird thing.
And the best is when they just straight up tell Nick that.
Yeah.
Hi, Nick. Oh, you're on the radio, right? I love your dad.
Everyone loves his dad.
Mark Cervelli. Mm-hmm. Mark Cervelli.
You know who's laughing like that probably this morning is Danny Roach. Been thinking about him a lot. It's a big weekend for him coming up. I'm sure he's got to be extreme. That's why it made me think about him this morning and about how he graced us at the beginning of the season with his beginning of the year poem. And I just love the part where he talks about, and Dustin Pedroia will be back leading the charge.
Well, listen.
The bullpen will be great. Well, but everything else, nailed.
Well, I don't think it's about specifics or being correct. I think it's just about hope at that point. I mean, even if the Red Sox had fallen apart and not made the playoffs, it doesn't change the fact that spring training brings out, hope for every team. 32 teams walk out there and they say, we got hope today. And so they go out, and then it's spring, and who knows what can happen. The world is your oyster. I mean, you go, and you disrespect the man, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about hope. Hope springs eternal in the spring.
Here come all the recliner salesmen calling in.
Sheldon, you sell recliners?
Hello, you talking to me?
Is your name Sheldon?
Yeah, this is. You know, I'm a sales rep for a furniture company that's made here in America. I sell to all the big stores in Boston, and we would absolutely love to do this. We'll get him a recliner with heat and massage. Absolutely would love to do this for you guys. We'll go with leather, whatever he wants to do.
Leather? Nah.
I want to hear his reaction. Because, Nick, thumbs up, thumbs down. He doesn't have one that's got, like, the buttons that massage him, right? Like,
fancy for me.
I want to hear his sound of him getting in one of the chairs and pressing the button when it just starts moving on him. Oh, goodness gracious.
Got a boner.
Jeez, man.
I just like Nick's face.
It's a little
Nicholas, it's time to make another review.
Yesterday was really the day he needed to be here.
All right, Sheldon, we'll put you on hold and we'll get all your information.
Or just email us, Sheldon. Just email.
Nah, get his information. Why not, Nicholas? This is for your dad.
Yeah, have him email me.
Yeah, have him email Rich. He takes care of the recliner stuff.
That's right, for a recliner Christmas. Yeah,
he's the Johnny on the spot with the recliner stuff.
We still need a Manhattan's and Meatballs party, which I would love to put that together sometime.
Well, I think the thing before the end of the year is that you do the recliner Christmas. Now, I mean, before recliner Christmas, if you wanted to do something in November, we could do Thanksgiving.
Like Italian Thanksgiving?
Yeah, just like a meatball Thanksgiving, like before everyone leaves.
All right.
Well, no, I refuse to meet him because I like the way I think of him in my head.
See, I'd have no problem meeting him. I would love to.
No, I don't. It's not because I don't like him.
I know, but it wouldn't ruin anything for me if I met him. I mean, I've talked to him several times, but I've never met him in person. Our program director has met him in person.
Yeah, because he went over there.
They went over, had lunch at his place.
Said the longest lunch in the history of the world.
they were lucky enough.
I don't want you to leave.
To sit in one of the recliners. They were lucky enough. I mean, there are three in the living room, as we learned. So
yeah, well, at that point there was only two because he had to keep one with Nicholas.
That's right. He had to shift one into the room just to keep an eye on him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they had to do that. So that will be maybe.
in November, there's a meatball Thanksgiving. And then at Christmas time, there's, you know, a recliner Christmas.
Just him just going from chair to chair. Oh, yeah. Just trying out each and every one of them.
Yeah. Just, he's sitting in them. This one will be good for the parking garage.
Yeah, I have a feeling that we're going to get a few people offering to make him, give him his special day. This is kind of like that show where, you know, the family comes out and all of a sudden they've built a house for them. This is like his special day.
He gets screwed on taxes.
right.
Yeah, so you get him like a $2,000 easy recliner.
That's a reality show.
And he owns taxes on it.
You just, reality show would be just go to the North End and buy random people recliners.
Just, and some people just keep them in the street.
Which that one guy does, apparently.
Well, you could perch one right by the window. We're going to play it again today, but if you missed it, you missed a lot. The best thing about his place is that he loves that it looks over a parking garage. He loves it. Nick, what does he like so much about that parking garage? No, again, the microphone's stupid.
But Nick's like, I don't know. He has no idea.
Yeah, well,
I have no idea. Like, I don't know
what's
why.
The blue light he was talking about?
It must be like a street light or something.
So, but he was, that's his like pride and joy is the parking garage.
Yeah. Yeah. He apparently he loves the parking garage.
All right. Well, we all love different things. All right. Rich certainly, what is coming up in the stack?
The Bruins make it three in a row. On top of that, the Patriots did a little trash talk this week, which is rare. And they end up getting a response from said victim.
Okay. We will have all that for you.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. What happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. No matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin' Donuts. Go twos. Participation may vary.
After their horrendous season debut, the Bruins have now ripped off three wins in a row.
Far side now, Pastrnak into the slot. Pull and drag out in front. Backhand. He scores! David Pastrnak rotated into the slot on Dresden Oilers defender. Got Talbot to commit and shoveled it inside. On the power play, the Bruins have tied the game at one.
That is the sound of who else?
Pasta.
That's right. David Pastrnak scoring one of the prettiest goals you'll see all year in the 4-1 win over the Oilers. That goal coming on a power play where the Bruins are now 4-for-9 with a man advantage this season. On top of that, the first line continues to be ridiculous with the combo of Pastrnak, Marchand, and Bergeron now up to 22 points. In the last three games.
Three more goals last night.
Mm-hmm. And Marchand scored a goal to make everyone very pleased that he is not given up on that aspect of his game.
Well, on top of that, maybe Cassidy found a cure for his ailing second line?
Nordstrom powered through a check. Carries in. Right circle. Krejci centered. Nordstrom. He scores!
So apparently the answer to the second line woes was Joachim Nordstrom.
No, I had to look up today.
No. Well, the best was, Fred, after that goal, the official Bruins account tweeted out the word Nordy, as if we all knew that was his nickname.
Wow, Nordstrom. So you picked him up to play, apparently, on the fourth line.
No, his career high for goals is 17 in a season, and he did that during the 2013-14 season for the Rockford Ice Hogs of the American Hockey League.
Well, there you go.
He has 21 career goals. Congratulations.
Well, saved the season.
That's a puzzle piece that just seems to be fitting right there in the second line.
Yeah.
The cure for all ills. But on top of that, with Tory Krug out, Matt Grizzlick has been excellent taking his place in the power play. He had assists last night on both Pastrnak's and Marchand's goals. goals. Halak played great once again as well, stopping everything that came his way, save for a Connor McDavid shot in the first, but I guess that's bound to happen.
And there was another goal that Chara saved him on.
That was the best.
That should have been a goal, but wasn't.
Chara's with his long-ass arms scooped out that puck that was like slowly sliding behind Halak, who, unbeknownst to him, so credit Z with the save. He just went in there, and it's one of those that if it just was an inch to the left, it would have been a goal.
There were a couple that where he like looked behind him and thought it was passed.
All right, John. Well, you don't have to be like that. The goal that was scored was by one of the elite players in the NHL, if not the most elite.
Yep.
And it was on a breakaway. So I got to, as much as John wants to crap on Halak, I would give Halak a lot of credit for his performance.
He's better than Rask at this point. He's played much better than Rask at this point.
Yes, sure. As I've said, since they've got him, I don't think it's out of the question that Halak's going to play more games than Rask.
All in all, it was a good win. Here is Bruce Cassidy afterwards.
It might change on Saturday. We're still tinkering, but yeah, you want to see it work.
He's talking about that second line right there.
It might change on Saturday. We're still tinkering, but yeah, you want to see it work. It obviously can, because you know, then obviously now you're down to maybe one other line you're going to examine. So we want the lines to work. We've said it, you know, and until it does, we probably move some pieces around and players in and out. But the quicker we get solidified, I think it's better for everybody.
Nordy power. Nordy. Nordy.
Ryan Donato, healthy scratch.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, you got to put Nordy in.
That's true. You do. But yeah, we're rearranging a lot of deck chairs here in the first week or so of the season.
Are hockey nicknames the most phoned-in nicknames? They just take the first syllable and add a Y
except
to it.
Except for Campbell when they went soupy on them.
Yeah, because Campbell.
Marshy and Bergie.
They're very phoned-in, and everyone's got one of those. Well, Halak, as you were mentioning, obviously had a good game. Halaki. Or Holly. It would just be the first syllable, right? Holly.
I don't know.
Or the key.
Or Locky.
Yeah, you could call him Lock to the Key.
Lock to the Key. It would be Key to the Lock.
No, Lock to the Key.
Okay.
I switch it up on paper.
All right.
I'm dyslexic.
Here is the Lock talking about the D and how they did a good job in front of him.
The D, they done really, really good job boxing out guys.
Speak better.
Or let me see the puck for most part.
Huh?
There was some time that I probably blocked the shots. And,
what?
And there wasn't any secondary chances,
what?
You know, as far as our turn. So, like I said,
speak
so
up.
Far it's been good. But like I said, we
all right.
All against like we.
I can't understand what he's saying. It's not because of him. It's because it sounds like he's talking in a lunchbox.
Yes. If you're going to talk, talk with some authority.
Yes, speak up,
sir. At least Kanye West yesterday spoke with great gravitas.
Yes, he did.
That it has to be discussed later on. I mean,
o'clock.
That was... I watched all 25 minutes of insanity.
I watched it all. And Trump just sat there nodding his head.
Yep. No, the best was Jim Brown. Jim Brown's just like... smiling. I don't think he realizes what planet he's on at this point.
Well, Jim Brown's just always around. He's always hanging around.
Right. Well, a kind thank you to the Bruins for moving tomorrow night's game up to 3 p.m. as to not be a conflict with the Red Sox game. And, of course, you can hear the puck drop right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. So with the Patriots getting ready for this weekend's potentially high-scoring game against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, Stephon Gilmore on Wednesday was on Zolak and Bertrand and fired a rare shot towards another player, and it was one the Patriots aren't even playing this weekend. Gilmore was asked about Jalen Ramsey and his trash talk, and here is what Gilmore had to say.
Yeah, what's your reaction when you see other corners that do that, like Ramsey? And I know there's others in the league that sort of talk the trash before
it's
the
like
game
a part of the position.
Is even playing.
Just,
I know that's not your style, so I'm curious to know what someone like you would think about that.
I mean, it's his personality, you know. It's not my style, but I feel like a lot of guys that talk is mostly zone guys, so they got a lot of energy to do that.
Mostly zone guys, he said?
Yeah,
Bert.
Yeah.
Okay.
Make sure you get that clarification.
Yeah, Bert.
Not letting
just
that go.
Jump right in there.
By the way, Bert getting crap last night for tattling on Stephon Gilmore by people. It was kind of funny. It was like, because Jalen Ramsey ended up getting word of all of this, as we knew as he would, and he was asked about it yesterday to respond to what Stephon had randomly thrown out there, and here's Jalen Ramsey.
A couple people have been saying something about it, but I don't really. I mean, we know that's further from the truth. I'm gonna continue to do what the team asks me to do, either man or zone. Maybe he should try it. I was all pro. But, I mean, it's cool. I've never understood why, you know, somebody on the same side of the ball would hate on another guy. Like, usually we going against the opponent, but, maybe I'm a third or something. I really don't know. I said maybe I'm a third or something. I really don't know. It was weird to me. It's lame, corny, but it's him though.
It's lame and corny.
It's like when Machine Gun Kelly came after Eminem. I think that you want to stay away from Ramsey.
Well, Jalen
Ramsey, he's gonna win that in the end.
Jalen Ramsey's the best because he's obviously legitimately a great player at his position. But on top of that, why anybody like tisks him talking trash about other players? You need that. That's one thing that this league needs more than anything. Guys who aren't afraid to run their mouth, talk trash on other guys. There's enough talking trash on people in their own locker room, which we'll get to in a couple of minutes when we discuss last night's atrocious performance by the New York Giants. That was just awful.
Enjoy Sam Darnold as he rises to the ranks of All-Pro. And you're sitting there with Saquon Barkley.
Saquon Barkley looks awesome, though.
Yeah, does it, well,
That's the one thing I'll say. He looked awesome.
I saw this yesterday, and it makes a lot of sense. You saw the reason why the Giants drafted Saquon Barkley, and you saw the reason why they shouldn't have drafted Saquon Barkley in the same game.
Oh, no, sure.
You don't take him with the second overall pick. I'm telling you, Sam Darnold is going to be a perennial All-Pro or Pro Bowler, and you've taken him. You've decided to take Saquon Barkley.
Barkley may be a Pro Bowler, too, but he won't have a line to block for him. He certainly won't be on a team that wins.
Oh, you need a quarterback more, but he's awesome.
Now we're discussing that? I mean, come on.
No, he's going to be a huge talent in the league.
With you. We're saying Barkley is
but they needed a quarterback
more. The wrong guy.
No, you put in little disclaimers on
things. No, there's no qualifiers on it. You're right. They should have taken a quarterback. He's a good player, but they should have taken a quarterback. That's all I'm saying.
They should have taken a quarterback. They should have taken Sammy D.
Okay.
You don't think Sam Darnold's going to be a problem?
Okay, I just said okay. What's your problem? I just said okay.
Your face.
Okay.
I don't like your face.
All right.
I don't know what it is about that face, but every time I see it, I just want to pop it right in the suckhole. Isn't that Step Brothers?
Yeah.
It's something about that face. But last night, I mean, it was ridiculous. And as you're watching Saquon Barkley just like hurdle over three guys to get 9 yards, you're sitting there going, all right, that's amazing, but let's not look at the shiny thing over here. You need an effing quarterback.
That's right. Eli Manning's about to throw an interception, so congratulations on getting the ball to midfield. You have no chance of getting it in the end zone.
I was talking to Mike about this yesterday because I watched the first half, and it was so unbearable that I didn't watch the second. Mike watched the entire thing, and there was a play last night.
Bruins were,
I was back and forth. But
you focus on the Bruins.
Well, the other thing is that there was a play where it was, I think, 3rd and 26, and Eli Manning, he goes back, and there's a guy wide open just, like, right to his right and throws, like, a screen pass on 3rd and 26, and immediately the guy just gets tackled.
The check down was great.
And everyone just starts booing him, mercilessly.
That's not fair, because 3rd and 26, that happens almost all the
time.
And
he has no protection. I mean, Nate Solder almost got him killed near the goal line
But I mean, there was
night.
No,
I mean,
just, hope for this guy. Like, no, he was, like, swamped.
But 3rd and 26, you don't chuck it downfield to get it. I mean, that's 99%.
Oh, sorry, It was 2nd and 26. It was 2nd and 26, 2nd and 26. And then you do.
No, you don't.
Now I'm confused. What just happened here?
What?
If it's 2nd and long,
yeah.
And what are you more likely to do? Force it deep or to check down?
Well, you throw the long ball to OBJ, of course. All Send him on a fly pattern and away he goes.
All right, John. There you go. Now John's like Captain Silly. I'm going to kick you out of the studio.
It's 6 a.m. Fred that we're looking at here. I like this.
No, you're not. I got energy to spare.
Is that the new nickname, 6 a.m.
Fred?
6
a.m.
Fred.
Well, then you should have caught me a year ago, because now I come in spitting fire. Walk with his stupid takes. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
Oh, we got some news on the Red Sox, and on top of that, a little trash talk amongst the Celtics as well as they get ready for the season to start.
All right, well, we'll see how John breaks that down.
And we'll get to Odell Beckham Jr. and his behavior on the sidelines yesterday.
All right, well, maybe John will have something to say about that. Look at that face of yours. Driving me nuts. So
morning,
crazy.
Fred. How are you?
Shut up. Hey, how about you all tuckered out after the Phil Collins show?
I was.
Yeah,
I was very tired.
I'm in here spitting fire.
You are.
All right. Here's John's dumb headlines.
The games are only half of it. Hutcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. Sean, go ahead, Sean.
This is Shane. Morning, guys. Steak and eggs.
Well, that's up, that is Nick's fault. Not getting your name right. Dumb Nick.
Not a problem. No, I'm just calling in. You know, it's Friday. Everybody should be in a good mood. Fred's going off on Wallach, on Rich. I just don't understand it sometimes. You're almost as annoying as Sarge.
Someone said we should start taking over-unders on the first Sarge calls on the show.
Right? That's the first, and here's the second.
John, go ahead.
Hey, guys, hey.
Hey.
So, Wallach needs to calm down. I'm going to say that right off the bat. So, I have an observation. I listen to the show religiously, and Fred, whenever you are out, Wallach always is more confident, like he's more aggressive, and I don't like it. Today has like almost the vibe of one of those days, and I think Wallach, I like the Wallach subdued and submissive, personally.
Okay, yeah, he's sitting there and he's picking his little fights.
He is a hell of a lot better than Sarge, even on a bad day, though.
Thank you. Good. He's over there picking hairs.
I thought that was going to happen.
Think he's going to get, and then, oh, it's 6 o'clock, Fred. Shut up. 6 o'clock, Fred. 6 o'clock, Fred's on fire today.
You are.
Telling me.
You're on fire.
You know, they shouldn't have. Hey, Manning's not going to play anymore. They should have taken a quarterback. Saquon Barkley's good.
He is good.
That's the thing. And then obviously, you know, he's confused the conversation. You understand that, Rich, don't you?
I do, but I think the way you phrased it was that you were saying that Saquon Barkley wasn't any good.
No.
That's how I
heard it. I think
that's the way you phrased it, but it may have.
Well,
you
did
may
you
have
remember the conversation with Troy Vincent where I told him Saquon
Troy Brown?
Barkley? Troy Brown?
Vinny Vincent,
he invaded the place. And did you? I mean, he told me to lick it up several times.
Of course he did.
But then he comes in, and then it's second in 27. I said, oh, well, he checked down. And Wallach knows perfectly that at second and 27, you don't force it downfield. And then he's sitting there, like he's never watched a football game before. Yeah, force it downfield, Eli.
Troy Brown did say that he doesn't think that Saquon Barkley, he didn't think it was anything special. He just said, what has he done?
And I said what? I was on the side of whom?
Troy Brown.
I was on the side of Saquon Barkley. That's why he was coming after me. I said Saquon Barkley is going to be a generational back, is what I said.
Without a doubt, because right now he seems to be the only thing doing anything for that team.
Right.
Yeah, but before...
I mean, Wallach splits hairs and then says it's 6 o'clock, Fred, and then I got to deal with that. Then, say, management just turned in. They go, 6 o'clock, Fred, what is he got? He's slow on the trigger?
I don't think there's any danger of management thinking that.
Now the management will always side with me over you.
We've had conversations about this.
Yeah, too. I'm sure you have.
In our secret room.
I know, you guys have secret meetings I'm not privy to. I haven't noticed. We are in secret meetings.
I know that.
You're on very thin ice. All right, go ahead.
Well,
now Vlog's going to worry all day.
Speaking of Saquon Barkley, last night the Eagles blew out the Giants because the Giants are just an abyss of failure.
Motion man is Jeffrey on third and goal. Quick toss, Jeffrey the catch, and walks into the end zone. Left side for the touchdown. The Eagles making it look easy. And Philadelphia is blowing out the New York Giants.
All right, so that's not even the fun stuff that happened last night, because to be quite honest, that game was not enjoyable to watch, at least the first half that I saw most of. But Odell Beckham, after his interview last week, which apparently was a costly one, because I guess he was fined, the one where he sat down with Lil Wayne, and they never really referenced why the hell Lil Wayne was there.
It was an advertisement for codeine.
It must have been, but on the sidelines, Odell Beckham obviously acting like a toddler, punching some sort of equipment tower. On top of that, he left the field while the offense was still playing before halftime.
Didn't they just give him a gigantic contract?
Yes, but all that did was, what's that term? Money just makes you more of what you already are. He was already an a-hole, and he just gave him permission to continue to be an a-hole.
But Beckham, let's see here. 5 years, $90 million, $65 million guaranteed.
Yes.
Like, why would you, like, at that point, what are you frustrated about? They paid you. And all honest, so here's the deal. I get it if you feel you're being underpaid. I understand that completely. But you took money, which counts against the cap, which doesn't allow the team to do everything that they probably want to do.
Right.
What do you care at that point? You've been paid.
Or how about, like, you've been paid to do something, do your job, try to make it work, instead of wandering off like a toddler.
Amazing, but he didn't change after signing the contract.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah,
amazing.
I know.
But that's on the Giants. Stupid. You're right.
Well, no, I think the Giants had to because of his popularity. I mean, he's just so popular. But if I'm Odell Beckham Jr., what am I fighting against now? You've been paid. You've gotten everything that you've wanted. So if they get you the ball or not, what do you care?
So,
what did you think the team was going to go 16-0 this year?
Well, what's great too is that Odell Beckham was also late getting back on the field after halftime. He was asked about all of these things afterwards.
I was just trying to get myself going. I felt like some of those plays right after I was getting myself going was some of my best stuff. So I was just trying to get myself fired up, and I did that, and it helped me. You know, there was a lot of things going on that had me fired up, and it helped me bring out the best, maybe help me bring out that energy. I don't know a way around it, but to get myself going.
Okay, and by the way, the coach, Pat Shurmur, who's been great, by the way, because he just doesn't know how to handle any of this, he did say afterwards that Odell Beckham went to the locker room early because he needed IVs. All right, sure, fine. So here is Shurmur afterwards, once again, pointing fingers at you blasted media asking me questions.
What'd you think of your team's overall effort? Guys, trying to see everybody.
Absolutely, everybody fought. We got beat by a good team. Didn't score enough points. They scored way more than us. Nothing wrong with the effort. They fought hard all the way to the end.
Pat, how unexpected was tonight's effort after Sunday's?
I just said I'm not worried about their effort. I'm worried. Listen, didn't he ask me about effort? And then I said I wasn't concerned about their effort, right? Here we go again. Wasn't concerned about their effort.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere Ben McAdoo is smiling like you would not believe. Think the problems were me? No. Nope.
What happened to McAdoo? Like, where is he now?
He's a pimp.
The world's grossest looking goatee. Remember how, like, when he tried to grow like something there, it just looked like he'd eat a chocolate donut and forgot to wipe it off his face?
Now, bring in the air of Davis Webb with the New York Giants. I had to look it up. Peter, go ahead.
Peter. Hi, Peter. Hello.
He had a good call, too.
Okay.
Said, Walk is spitting fire through that gap of his.
It's just flames?
Yep. Yeah. Invisalign has obviously got him cranky.
Mm-hmm. Somebody said that 6 a.m. Fred has major dick tendencies.
You are a dick. You.
Well, not quite. I mean, he just has the tendency.
You have dick tendencies.
Yeah. Big Wallach.
Saquon Barkley's good.
Yes. They need a quarterback. Eli Manning can't play. Their backup is Davis Webb.
The way you phrased it.
But he's good. He's good at running back.
The way you phrased it, I thought you were saying he wasn't good.
Are you on the show?
Yes.
Does nothing I've said in the past resonate with you at all?
No.
I've talked about Saquon Barkley being a generational running back several times on the show. In fact, me and Vinny Vincent got into it last Monday.
I love how all of a sudden Troy Brown is now Vinny Vincent. We've made the full transition.
Yeah. Well, so it's Vinny Vincent. Dan, go. This is all
that's a good joke.
Very inside.
That's a good joke.
Dan, go ahead.
Sarge, you are a liquid-emitting fart.
All right.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That was disagrees with Fred was on the screen.
Okay, well, I just called it. Why would you do that? Call it just to yell at Sarge. I don't think that's very nice.
Well, he's going to blame me regardless. All right. Maybe what's coming up next that Walt can ruin?
Well, that would be, we don't have Angel Hernandez calling balls or strikes and botching every single call for go-around, but we do have the second worst, and we will get to that.
Country Joe West?
Big market tease, Fred. Come on. You know how it works.
I apologize for ruining that. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Ew! What's this? Ew!
I was wildly disappointed when this didn't end up being Can We Rock, What's Up Doc, with Shaq and the Pushnickens.
Is this Young White Teenager? Young White Teenagers? Ew! Who pulled out young Black Teenagers?
Been in the system forever, I think.
Ew!
It's at the bottom because it has Y. Yeah.
This is what we want. What's up, Doc?
Yes.
Can We Rock? No, turn that down.
Nobody knows that I got Kelly Bundy.
Whatever happened to the Fushnikins after that was done?
They all went on to law degree.
I remember you asked Shaq that when we had him on.
We did.
You talked to the Fushnikins. He's like, no, man.
He's like, no, man.
I never have talked to him since.
Like, I don't even know of anything that they did before or after. No, Can We Rock What's Up, Doc?
I don't think there was much. Lexus, hello.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Listen, you guys make my commute, an hour and a half commute, so much better. You guys are awesome. I love all three of you guys. But Walter, where you at, bro?
What, I'm here. What's up?
Okay. All right. Listen, how come you got to put up with Fred every morning? Listen, you were sitting hot fire this morning. I love it. You're pumping me up. That's awesome. I mean, how old are you, like 65, 70?
Thereabouts, yeah. I got my AARP card in the mail yesterday.
So listen, you're 65, 70, sitting hot fire with your Invisalign on, and you still look better than Sarge. Aha!
Aha!
You could just hear it ramping up.
I still am somewhat surprised.
Sarge is taking a lot of the onus off of me.
That's been kind of nice, because no matter however angry any caller is, it always ends up with, can't we just all agree, Sarge sucks, yeah. which I do not agree with. And you should stop calling us and saying those things about Sarge.
And don't tweet him, because he'll never get back to you.
Yes, he won't get back to you within 30 seconds. Well, as the Red Sox get ready for the ALCS, Major League Baseball yesterday announced the umpiring crews. And whereas we were graced with the presence of Angel Hernandez, who botched a record amount of calls, the good news is he ain't going to be there. The bad news is, guess who's coming to Fenway?
How old are you, son? He said, I'm 14.
That is right. That is Country Joe West, the umpire who said, hey, I want to be famous, which is the last thing you want an umpire to say.
Yeah.
He made himself a little country album, and on top of that, I'm sure on the big stage, he's not going to make the series about him at all in the least. Go, good old Country Joe West, who wrote such great songs as this awkward one.
You never get a second chance to make a first impression.
Is that a
And you can't
commercial?
Live your life in a state of depression. Mistakes that you make in life sometimes seem too many.
Like this album,
State Farm commercial.
Hindsight is always 20/20.
Okay, well,
he's explaining away his mistakes in the field. I was thinking the other day, I think it's because I watched an episode of Big Mouth. But, and I won't get into the plot, but then I kept thinking about Joe West going, hey, son.
How old are you, son? He said, I'm 14.
All right. And then, like, that's not, like, whatever. Like, that's not good.
No, that's, like, extremely creepy.
Like, you're an artist. You can create any soundscape that you want. You can write any lyrics that you desire. And you're going to start off with, hey, son, how old are you?
Hey there, Muscle Hops.
Hey there, Muscle Hops. How old are you? What's the good news?
Cause you can't run with the big dogs if you act like a puppy. And you can't swim with the big fish if you splash like a guppy.
All right, well, that's obviously a CD that sold extremely well.
Well, if you rhyme puppy with ducky.
Guppy, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think it was Guppy. So
I apologize.
It's way too cerebral for you, Fred. Joe West is on a different plane,
man.
It is. Well, this whole Thanksgiving match between Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson for $9 million, the only people who are going to be on the golf course that day are going to be Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. According to a report from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, no tickets are going to be sold for this event. That is going to look really weird on TV.
Why would you do that?
I have no idea.
That's bizarre.
So people can't use their cell phones to take snap photos and distract everyone beyond.
Jesus. I don't understand that.
Where is it? Is it in Vegas?
In Vegas.
Okay.
So apparently they're saying there's people who, for this article, are in on the planning of this deal. And they're saying there's going to be a small gathering of just like sponsors and VIPs who are going to be out there at Shadow Creek, which is owned by MGM.
No people, but the occasional tent.
Yeah. No.
Between holes.
I'm not kidding you. Also, parts of the match are going to be played under the lights, which was, there was speculation because Mickelson said something about it wanting to be in prime time. And that's not going to happen. But just what a weird, stale environment that's going to look like, watching a golf tournament with only two guys and no crowd.
How fast do you think they play that round?
4 hours?
Rip through it.
3:45?
Yeah, 3:45 at most.
Yeah, two guys with no crowd, no distractions. They're going to rip right through it.
They're going to have to like start like purposely, you know, overlooking putts and things like that. Because two you know, great golfers that, you know, hit greens in regulation. There's only two of them. I mean, they could, with no one in front or in back of them, I mean, you could fly through that thing. So, I mean, don't you think that...
That's got to be under 3 hours.
Well, no, they're going to make it 3 hours. Well, they're going to go to commercial and stuff.
I'm talking without the...
Oh, yeah, without the thing. Oh, yeah, absolutely they do it under 3 hours.
So I say from the first tee... Like, I mean, not from the presentation at the beginning. I say from when they hit their first shot to when it's done, if they just continuously move... That's going to be under 3 hours long.
Yeah, but they're going to have to stop for commercials.
Yeah, that's the thing.
No, it's pay-per-view.
No, well,
I mean, there's no commercials.
I thought it was free TV. No,
no, it's pay-per-view. You have to pay like was it 60 bucks?
Oh, I thought it was. Oh. I thought it was free TV.
Well, no,
okay.
No,
well, then I don't have to worry about that.
I know. I was just going to say I'm not watching that.
No, that's the big thing about this is that they're making it a pay-per-view, and the question was, would you pay? I think it was like $60. Would you pay $60?
No.
To watch just two guys playing against each other?
No, I would not.
No, and I could watch them play for free. Numerous times throughout the year.
And by the way, neither one has like the best personality in the world to where you, oh, I can't wait to hear the trash talk between these guys. Because that was kind of, do you remember back in the day with the Skins tournament? You had like Sam Snead and all this stuff. And all this stuff. You know, like, hey, let's gamble. Have some fun.
You have like Lee Trevino out there being all racist.
Stop to take a pull off a whiskey bottle in between holes.
Right. Like that was part of the fun is you wanted to see the characters kind of busting each other's balls. Like there's going to be none of that with Tiger Woods. I mean, Phil Mickelson's just going to be naturally an a-hole, but other than that,
he's going to be constantly gambling on sports while he goes through his round. All right, yesterday was a very special day for us, and it made an old man very happy, and we will tell you all about that, but first, the headlines, no commercials.